1 John chapter 1. I was talking with Sean and Wynn the last couple of weeks about some of the things we miss about church. And so you think about the preaching. Well, obviously that could be done. That could be done online, right? I mean, you know, Wendell's been telling me he's been listening to old sermons of Billy Graham. And man, I tell you, there was there's one that he preaches about who's Jesus. Now it's older, but boy, is it ever good. And I get a blessing listening to various pastors on the internet. I've done that for years in Africa. It kept me company many times. When you think about a pastor, well, I'm a pastor, right? So who preaches to me? You know, so you know, most pastors do that. You know, I mean, I don't listen to myself because I think that's a little odd, you know, to be sitting there, you know, listening to your own preaching. I don't think I've ever actually listened to a whole message that I've ever done because I don't want to get discouraged. So I stick it out there, you know. But I do enjoy doing that. But it's not the same as church. And one of the things when the Lord established a church, He gave it a job to do, and we can't deny that. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. A church is not a social club. I mean, we don't come together simply for the fact of you know, fellowship and friendship. We come together, we learn from the word, we encourage one another with the goal of getting out and doing something for Him, right? And that part of church is absolutely vital. Without a purpose, we might as well just go home to heaven. Right? I mean, what would be the sense of being down here? If you can't witness and you can't work for Him, then, you know, I mean, you know, we're wasting time. Might as well get on to eternity, you know? But that's not the case. And I really honestly believe until the day He comes. Now, when He comes, obviously the job of the church is over, right? Okay, because we're out of here. But until He comes, I believe there will always be something for the church to do. And that is to be active in spreading the word. Now, we may have to get creative on how that looks. You know, I mean, we may have to do things a little different in the area of outreach and be creative on what that looks like. But the goal and the agenda is still the same. I mean, people need to hear the Lord, but they need to know that there's hope. They need to know, I mean, you know, Sean and I were going down to the prison. Man, I miss doing that. You know, I miss. No, it made for longer days because you teach Sunday school and then you preach the morning service and you preach the evening service and then you load up and go preach a couple times at the prison. But man, I love that. And I miss those guys. Sorry I can't get in there because of this, you know. You know, that was something that I miss my Sunday school class. You know, I miss sitting back there with them and, you know, getting a little bit more personal in the Word. I miss those things and looking forward to getting back. To doing that, but the most relative message that's ever been preached is a message of the fact that people need the Lord, and during this time, you know, people's hearts have been open to that, and looking forward to being able to get in a spot where we can get to those white fields and spread the word. If you have your Bibles, I want you to find 1 John chapter 3, and then put your finger there, 1 John chapter 3. And then once you've found that, and you've got that marked, because we're gonna go back and forth there, I want you to go to Psalms chapter 118, Psalms chapter 118. And then when I find this, we'll pray. Psalms chapter 118, verse 8, 9. If you're listening online and you let Brother Matt know you're there, you get an opportunity to hit that share button. You get that out to your friends and family. And if there's any problems, you can let him know about it because he's monitoring that. So Psalms chapter 118, verse 8. Let me just get there real quick and let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you, Father, for our church and the heritage that it has. Lord, I want to thank you again for keeping this county safe. As far as I know, nobody in this county, we've not lost anybody to this virus. And we know that's not the case in other parts of the country, and our hearts go out to them. But Lord, as a calendar continues on and the sun comes up and it goes down every day and time marches on. I pray that you would give us the hope and the peace that we're able to function and do what you've called us to do until you take us home. But Lord, we need your help in that. I pray, Lord, you'd help us this morning. If there's anybody here that's listening, that in the quietness of their mind, they're not 100% sure that if they died, heaven would be their home. No doubt something like this has caused people to think about that. And it's always been puzzling to me why somebody would not know where they're going to go, but would pass up the opportunity to get that taken care of. And Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would help us this morning. We love you. Thank you for being so kind, loving, and forgiving to us. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Psalms chapter 118 and verse 8, the Bible says this. It says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." And, you know, when you read Psalms, is all full of all kinds of things like that. But I just want you to think about that statement, okay? And, you know, God wrote the Bible. I didn't write it. And we believe it's true, right? These are things that we trust. These are things that we build our faith on. And when it says this here, it says, now you notice something about this verse. It says that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's not that you can't. I mean, I believe that you ought to have confidence. I have friends, close friends, that I have confidence in, that love me, that I can count on. That's not wrong. Okay? You know, it doesn't say that you shouldn't put any confidence in a man. It just says it's better. It's better to trust in the Lord, okay? It's better to look out over the horizon and get up every morning and consult him on what you should do, how you should do it, and when you should do it, because he knows all things, the beginning and the end. And it is better to trust in him than to have confidence in a man. You'll be safer, less worry, you know, if that's who you're looking for your hope, okay? Now, the next one says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So a prince would be somebody that would be, you know, back when there was monarchs, they ran the country, okay? In the absence of the democracy, I mean, in a way, this would be presidents and governors and things like that. And it doesn't say not to trust them. It just says it's better to trust in the Lord. That's all. You know, it doesn't mean they're not relevant because he sets them in the position that they're in. But at the end of the day, that's not what I'm trusting. I was at Kroger getting groceries the other day, and the lady asked me, I bought 2 dozen eggs, and I had 2 grocery carts. And she said, do you want all your eggs in this basket? I said, probably not. You're not supposed to put all your eggs in one basket. She looked at me like I was crazy. I thought it was funny. But she didn't find a humor in that. You know, so these are good things. All right, let's go on just a little bit more, if you would. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Now, what is that word confidence? It's kind of like the word trust. I have a friend of mine who works for American Airlines, and I've been able to go behind the scenes and see what they do to an airplane every so many months. They take the thing completely apart and put it back together. And when I left there, I thought, hey, that made me feel better. You know, I mean, seeing all the rules and all the regulations and how specific they are about how they take it apart. I mean, they literally take out all the seats. They take out, I mean, the things they go through is just mind-boggling. Well, when you're 30,000 feet in the air on a 17-hour flight to Africa, it makes you feel better knowing that they do that, right? You know, knowing that there's five people checking to make sure that somebody didn't leave a screwdriver someplace where it's not supposed to be, and then they find it 30,000 feet in the air. Well, when it talks about this here, it says here, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence." And that confidence is, a guardrail can be a confidence, seatbelt can be a confidence. You know, there's lots of things that can be a confidence, but just don't forget about this, that the Lord also is our confidence, that he's watching over everything I do. Do you believe he can see you? Do you believe he can look down through your house and into your home? Does he have, when you shut your car door, is he on the outside or the inside? You know? I mean, every moment of my being, he is there. And by the way, because I belong to him, he knows my name. And he calls me his child. He died for me on the cross. He loves me more than anybody will ever love me. He has my best interest in mind. Therefore, that gives me a little bit of confidence, right? That I can trust him and I can count on him, especially when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay? So when I went to Cuba, when you're not supposed to go to Cuba, all right, years ago, probably shouldn't have put that out there, but maybe it's long enough, the statute of limitations are up. But, you know, and we were preaching in places that we shouldn't have been, not necessarily really safe. The confidence is what I was doing that for him. Wasn't doing it for me. Okay? It goes on to say this, "For the Lord shall keep thy shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due." That just goes on in Proverbs. Let's go down to Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27, and I want you to look at verse 1. Psalms chapter 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life." Yes or no? Okay. "Of whom shall I be afraid?" I'm not asking the question. David, the psalmist here, is asking the question. Okay. "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh." Man, what a way to word that. You know? I mean, have you ever felt like your enemies are eating up your flesh? Okay? "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." I like the bottom of that verse. It says, "The war should arise against me, and this will I be confident." Well, when you wake up tomorrow, what are you confident about? I mean, what can you trust? What can you rely on? We've got things that allow us to some sort of peace. But God has got to always be our confidence. And he's always got to be the one that we are. When it says the Lord's Prayer, and the disciples said, "Would you teach us to pray? You know, give us this day our daily bread." Does that include even if you're a multimillionaire? Well, absolutely. Because you're not supposed to trust in riches. Right? Let's just go just a little bit further with this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. Verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We quoted that verse the other day. Okay, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Well, here's the rest of that. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Okay, so Paul is addressing this church. It's a church at Corinth. he's writing these letters to them because they have questions. And one of the questions they had is, what happens to you when you die? Should we be afraid or not be afraid? Right? You know, at the beginning of this chapter, it says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands. So he says, if you're worried about dying, let me give you some comfort here. Here's the comfort I'm going to give you. For we know that in our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved. We know that if I were to die, that's what it's talking about. Okay? If I were to die, we have a building, another body. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. Okay? That's confidence. You know, I die, I'm just changing zip codes. That's it. That's what it said here. Next one. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. How, I mean, who doesn't want to do that? No more sin, no more death. Man, if you could put that in a bottle and put it in a pill and you take it and it happened instantly right there, there'd be a line from here to Canada and back again. Okay? All right, so that's what it's talking about. It's talking about Paul helping the people at Church of Corinth not be afraid of the thing that we know that all is going to happen to us. And then it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? And we are confident. I hope you can be confident. And from here, we're going to jump into the message. Don't be too scared. I got to be done. Got to be done at noon no matter what. So, you know, because it says here, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. They're confident that they know that that's what's going to happen when they die. That immediately when they die, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross for me, I am confident that when I die, to be absent from the body is to be present in the Lord instantly. We know that with Lazarus. The angels came and got him and, boom, he's gone. You know, home sweet home for all of eternity. We know that. And I'm confident of that. I'm confident that when it comes my time, however that goes about. I love it when I was back when I was a youth pastor and you got a van full of kids and a 20-hour ride going to camp. I always asked them, you know, you start getting stupid. You think, okay, how do you want to die? I said, if you had to take a choice between burning and drowning, which one would you do? Greg, what would you choose? If you had to burn to death or drown, which one are you going to pick? Drown. Anybody in here pick burning? You know why I'm not going to pick burning? Because I figure God knows what he's doing. And he made hell out of fire. I mean, you burned your little pinky. But I have some people say, no, man, I'd rather burn to death. I'm like, you are crazy. I would jump in that water and suck it in rather than burn it, because that just seems terrible to me. You know, they're all looking at me, why are we talking about this stuff? You're starting to weird us out, you know, because I was the one driving. You know, I remember one time I was driving. Now, I'm not a youth pastor anymore, so you don't have to worry about that. It probably wasn't very good that I did this, but it was like 2:00 in the morning, and one of the teenagers were awake, and I'm driving through Texas. I said, hey, watch this. I said, I did it safely. I looked behind me. I could see nobody for miles. And I said, look, on a count of three, I'm going to jack these brakes as hard as I can. And I said, I want you to start screaming in the front seat really loud. Oh, it was hilarious. I mean, so I said, 1, 2, 3, and I just jammed the brakes on and went, ah! And the guy next to me went, ah! And all those kids jumped up immediately. I mean, people were crying. I could have given an invitation right there, you know, had the whole band saved right there, because because we all screamed like this was the end of the life experience. Well, here's what he's saying. He says, I'm confident. Then he follows it up with this, and rather willing to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, how could you say? Where does that come from? Well, that's where really the message is. Why don't you go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to end up in the last 3 or 4 verses. We're just going to mill around here just for a minute before we get there. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love.
What manner of love, what kind of love did God have for me to make this possible? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed or given upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Sean, what kind of love is that? You know, that he would bestow on to me. Not only am I not going to hell. Listen, he could have let me go to heaven without calling me his son. He could have let me go to heaven without making me part of his family. He could have done that. But what kind of love not only saved me, but made me a part of his family, to where he would refer to me as his child. Man. I hope. Listen, do you understand that if you're not saved, you're not his child? He wants you to be. If you're not saved, you're not his child. And you're wandering the world by yourself. And when you die, you have to deal with that by yourself. And he says, come unto me. He's already paid the adoption fee. Amen. He's already talked to the judge. All adoptions have to go through a judge. And ours has already been to the judge. Amen. He'll sign on it. But the rest is up to you. If during these times you've had an uneasiness in your spirit about what happens next, please understand what you see in me or what you see in another believer is not a personal strength or a personal ability. The reason why I can live my life the way I do, and the reason why I could go to Africa and move my family there, isn't because I'm some sort of supernatural person. I have confidence. A confidence that only comes from God. A confidence that you can have. Anybody can go to Africa when you have God. Anybody can go be a missionary when you have God. You know, anybody cannot be afraid of what happened next when you have God. Anybody can do those things. When you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, anybody can do that. What was it? I think it was Bill Rice. One of those, or maybe it was D.L. Moody's, one of those guys was robbed. Maybe, Sean, you remember that illustration? One of them was, two guys came to him, pointed a gun at his head and said, give me your wallet or I'm going to shoot you. And he said, I'm not, maybe it was Dwight L. Moody, because it was in the mirror. And he said, I'm not going to give you my wallet. He said, well, we're going to shoot you. And he said, son, you can't threaten me with heaven. And you know, They didn't rob him. What are you going to do to a guy? Do you reason why the world can't control us? Not afraid to die. The reason why the persecution didn't stop the early church? It's because they were confident of this one thing. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Talk about making my day. You know, I mean, you know, Frazier, he's my missionary pastor in Africa. He listens to us online. By the way, Frazier, hello. and he said, Pastor, last week's sermon, scary. And he's funny how he talks. He says, I mean, it was scary, I tell you. He said, but you're right. He said, it's not dying that's the problem. It's the journey. I thought that was funny. You know, so he goes on to say this, behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Do you know where you're sitting and whatever you're listening to, or you're listening to it later on today, or you listen to this message a week from now? Do you have peace that you are a child of God? If not, stop what you're doing. Get down on your knees. Don't get up until you have that confidence. And where does that confidence come from? A bloody cross, nail-pierced hands, a beaten Savior dying for you because he loves you. Amen. paying your price so you don't have to pay it. And him saying, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Just ask him and he'll do it. And in, you know, I believe that most people already know, once you realize you're a sinner and you know that your conscience is telling you that your sin is going to send you to hell, well, what in the world are you waiting from there?
Amen.
Why in the world would you want to go out there and risk when he's already paid? Guys, we're all sinners. All of I had a death sentence on my life. If I would have died before I got saved, I would have gone to hell.
Amen.
And paid for my sins myself.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about that anymore. I mean, I'm confident enough that I'd even get on a motorcycle with Greg in Africa. Because you know what? If I would have been in Africa and I said, Greg, I'm driving, he wouldn't have got on that motorcycle with me. Because he doesn't think I know how to do anything, so he wouldn't have done that. So what I do is I get on there, you know, trusting this, you know, redneck of a man that grew up on a motorcycle. He dumped me. I mean, flat out dumped the motorcycle with me on it. I got back on it again. That might have been a confidence or stupidity, one of the two. All right, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him.
Amen.
For we shall see him as he is. Man, beloved, that's if you belong to him, that's you. Beloved, now we are the sons of God.
Amen.
He calls me his child. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope. When you've got this hope, India, China, wherever. Man, I can act in a way that other people cannot act because I have a hope that they don't have. I'm not trying to live here forever. I'm not going to put my body in some sort of frozen encryption thing so that later on they can figure out a cure for whatever killed me and bring me back. Absolutely not. Don't do that. Because I don't want to come back. Because I have a hope. I'm hoping. I'm hoping that this wonderful city, I want to live in that city. Now, I understand. I understand about not wanting to get on the bus today. But I didn't write this. And he's the one that said, but beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not appear. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he. You know what else will give you confidence? Live like you are a child of God. Because when we spend time in sin, it breaks down that confidence level because the devil comes in and says, you're no good. Look what you did. And it beats you down and there goes your confidence. But if we're living like we're supposed to be living, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Now, we don't have time to go over all that this morning. Maybe I'll tackle that sometime later this week. That does not mean that we're never going to sin, because that would contradict 1 John 1:9. What that means is that now that I am a believer, there's something inside of me, a light that was put in there by the Lord Jesus Christ, his spirit in me, that keeps me from letting it go the way somebody who does not have the Lord, a person who is a believer, cannot continue in that sin and be happy and not feel the effects of that sin and continue in that sin forever and enjoy it. You can't do that and be a Christian. Impossible. So if your conscience does not bother you about your sin, I would sit down and give that some really good thought. And in the quietness of your mind, your sin does not visit you in the night and convict you, and you can just go about doing it as though God's changed his mind on what's right and wrong, that would concern me greatly. No confidence in that at all. I would not have confidence. We all sin, right? But if you know you're going to walk out that door and you know you're going to do what you did, you know, last week, and whether God himself came down and told you it was wrong, well, then you might want to look at that. Because the confidence comes from him and then from living the way we're supposed to live. If you take that free gift of salvation, you honor him with how you live. That's respectful. Man. And he deserves that, right? Okay, we got to keep going. I want you to go down here to verse 18. And I got to move fast. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I like how he's talking to us here. My little children. You know, this is going out to adults. People say, well, I don't want to be treated like a child. Well, you want God to treat you like a child.
Amen.
You want that.
Yes, sir.
You want God to look down at you, I don't care if you're 90, and say, my little children.
Amen.
Okay? My little children. In verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of truth and shall assure our hearts before him. That's important. I want to assure my heart before him. For if our heart condemn us, and sometimes it does, guys. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. Mark that, underline it, don't ever forget it.
Amen.
But that is only if you know him. If you don't know him, be afraid. And it comes down to a personal relationship with Christ. He wants to do that. Do you know if you're not saved, you're not even God's friend? You're his enemy. You're not his friend. He is not your friend. You're his enemy. He wants you to be his friend. He died on the cross so you can be his friend. We've all done what is necessary to have hell for eternity. And God's going to come down and he's going to remove all of that through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's going to wipe it clean. And he's going to call you his friend and his child.
Amen.
Why wouldn't you do that? Please, if you don't have that confidence, it's scary now for Christians. I can't imagine what it'd be like for somebody who doesn't know the Lord. Because if it all goes up in smoke tomorrow, I'm out of here, right? Home free. Man, the nightmares you'd have if you don't know. And hereby we know that we are of the, verse 20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have this confidence towards God. And that's the key, guys. And moving forward is confidence in God. All of my eggs are in one basket. And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
All my future plans. Will I get to see my grandkids grow up? I don't know. Will I ever have to bury one of my children before they bury me? I don't know that either. What comes next in this crazy world I live in? I don't know. Who's going to get elected next year? I don't know. Got no idea. Am I going to die of cancer? Am I going to bite it in an airplane? I don't know. This is one thing I do know. That when I was 18 years old, Jesus saved me. And I became his child. And that I'm confident in. So, I've got to live the rest of my life based on that. I got to plug that in where I have no confidence. What the future holds. I don't know. I'm just confident in this. I can trust him. He loves me. If he sees fit for me not to see my grandkids grow up, well, guess what? I trust him, Chris. I trust them. I mean, I've had people tell me before, Dave, I trust you. Whatever you think's right, you don't even have to explain it. I trust. Well, I'm a guy, a human being. We're going to do that with people, and you've probably had people do that to you. Well, I trust you. We're going to do that to people. We certainly need to do that with God. Well, Dave, let me explain. Well, you don't really have to. What about that centurion that asked the Lord to go heal somebody, and he said, but you don't have to come to my house because I know who you are, and you can just do it. Save yourself the trip. You know what we can say to God and say, listen, I don't need to know all that. I probably can't even handle. Would you like to know everything right now? Be going crazy, right? I don't even need to know. I trust him. You know, I trust him. I have confidence in him. Now, if you don't have confidence, A, you don't know the Lord. B, your life is in opposition of the spirit that dwells inside of you, and there's turmoil there, and therefore no confidence. Because you're not living, we're not living the way we should. So then the devil begins to erode that confidence. You can get that confidence back by simply getting back in the Word and by living and confessing and getting right with God and putting yesterday behind you and doing right today. Or if you don't have it, that's one way. Or if you don't have it, the other way to get that confidence is wherever you're at, in your living room, car, wherever. I mean, haven't you had enough? Just pull over, stop, get down on your knees at home, whatever you got to do. And just say, I'm ready to be your child. I need a heavenly Father. And I'm sorry my sin caused you to die on that cross. And I couldn't think of a better person to be my Lord, Savior, King, friend, Father, than you. And if you will adopt me, I will be glad to change my last name forever to be your child. That's it. Because that's exactly what I did. Gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. And man, immediately he stepped down and took this burden, this heavy thing off of me. And he holds it. All of my questions and all of my worries and all of my fears, he just scooped down, picked them up. And I felt so much lighter. Now all I got to do, I don't have to figure all this mess out. Because my confidence is in him. He's in control. Certainly qualified to be the leader of the world, right? I mean, he can be anywhere. He can do anything. He knows everything. Okay, he's got the job in my life. I don't know about yours. So if you see anything good about me, it is not me. And even if you think, well, man, I've had people say, boy, that was brave. I mean, that was something, you taking your family all the way to Africa. No. Pretty easy. When you have the God of creation going with you, what are you worried about? You know, I was telling Ronnie, in Africa when I'd eat an apple or buy something in a market, I would take hand sanitizer, rub it all over the apple or the orange. Then I would take a bottle of water and I'd dump it over that. Then I'd eat it. Maggie washed all of our vegetables. I grew a lot of them at home. There was a TB ward right down the road from where we lived in Africa. I probably shouldn't tell you that because you won't want to go back and visit there again. But they told us, hey, be careful about picking up somebody who coughs because they might have tuberculosis. Well, you don't want to get that because if you get it, they take your passport and you can't come back to America until you have a clean TB test. So that ain't cool, right? And I've known missionaries have gotten that, couldn't do that. All these crazy stuff out there. I knew when I went to Africa that I was lowering my family's expected life expectancy. That it was a risk doing that. How do you do that? How do you know you didn't make a mistake when my kid got malaria? And you think, should I have resigned that church? Did I do the right thing? Is this stupid? You know where that then all of a sudden the confidence comes in. Look, I know God sent me there. I mean, $1 million just don't fly out of the sky unless he's behind it, right? I know he sent me there. No doubt. And then you get up, and then there's this strength that comes from that's not human. And I've had people tell me this, Dave, I got you. You know what means way more than that? Is to have the God of heaven look down from heaven and say, Dave, I got you. Does God have you? Have you given your life to him? Second, are you living for him? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, Father, for the truth that's in it. And thank you for helping us to be able to be confident. And Lord, you even went so far as to say that even when our hearts condemn us, you do not want us to be afraid. You want us to be confident in your word. That when we asked you to save us and forgive us of our sins, you did exactly that. And thank you. As we move ahead, I pray we'd lean on this confidence. And if somebody doesn't have that confidence today, God, I pray that you would visit their heart and help them. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.